It's 8:41 on Breakfast. So a new loyalist community organisation is expected to be launched later today with the backing of the UDA, the UVF and the Red Hand Commando, and with the help of Tony Blair's former Chief of Staff, Jonathan Powell. It also coincides with the 21st anniversary today of the loyalist ceasefire. Raymond McCord's son, who was also called Raymond, was murdered by the UVF in 1997. Good morning to you, Raymond. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Just remind us what happened to your son?
My son was a former member of the RAF. He was 22 years of age, and he was lured to his death by members of the UVF, who were also, it was proven, as special branch informants. And he was beaten to death, and not far from where I actually live, his body was dumped in the quarry. And UVF, but he was just one of 31 Protestants murdered by the UVF from their ceasefire.
How has your family coped since Raymond's death?
With great difficulty. As other victims here probably listening to this would understand, every day it's hard. His anniversary is coming up next month, the 9th of November. It's 18 years, and it's a struggle every day. For everyone in my family, it's affected family members. It's affected their physical and also their mental health.
What's the last memory you have of your son, Raymond?
Smiling. Left me at Wednesday. Seeing him smiling as usual. I always remember that.
And that was the last time you saw your son alive?
That was the last time I seen my son alive, and he... his body was so badly beaten by people who call themselves loyalists or gangsters. We never seen his body. It was a close call. I'm sure there's other people, you know, it's bad enough losing your son, but not even to be able to get him in his coffin. It's heartbreaking.
You never saw him again?
Never. When his coffin was still in the funeral department, was released, the man in the funeral department moved the lid just over a wee bit, and all he'd done was just touch his hand. Couldn't see his face because there was none there.
How do you feel, Raymond, today when you hear about this Loyalist Community Council? Because some loyalists say they feel that they've been left behind in the peace process, and this gives them an opportunity to become more involved.
First of all, like they said, they're not loyalists. They're Northern Ireland's version of the mafia. They're not loyalists. They're drug dealers, they're killers, they're extortionists, they're child beaters, women beaters. They consistently go Unionist people's homes, drive them from their homes, attack them. They've been given jobs as community workers. The state has sucked up to them, give them everything that they wanted in the past. Millions. Like, people struggle every day to live under financial restrictions, all the people have in their homes. They talk about austerity, yet these people don't suffer from it. And this is a game of wanting more power and more money. They say they're left behind. I'm from a strong unionist family, not a sectarian family. Unionist family. You know, and the unionist community have not been left behind. It's the part of militaries, right, who have been left behind simply because the unionist people do not want them within the community. We want them to go. We don't want more money to be given them. And the Chief Constable at the weekend's talking about at the PUP conference about bringing these people on board and giving their senior figures community workers' jobs. It's beggar's belief. In any other democratic country, these people are labelled clearly as terrorists. Here, the state wants to give them more money. David McNary, the MLA, who's helping organise this, and I watched him on television last night, refers to, he wants a statement from the IRA. The IRA haven't been the organisation that's been murdering Protestant people from a so-called ceasefire in 94.
What's the alternative, Raymond, though? That's what some people will wonder. What is the alternative?
Well, people talk about the alternative. It's very simple. I signed up for the Good Friday Agreement. I voted against it because I didn't believe a prisoner should get out of jail. He can commit murder, do time. It's as simple as that. But these people saying buffer, and now, because they've been rejected by their own communities, right? They're calling for something else. This is about getting money. And the alternative is very simple, right? They abide by a democratic process. There's people elected, whether we like it or not, from either side, or people within your own community, right, who've been democratically elected. Let those people make the decisions. You know,
that is a point I actually put to Winston Irvine earlier on the programme, and his response was, history gives you a mandate.
History? What history? You know, what history is he talking about? You know, this is a man who refused to condemn the murders of Protestants, but challenged by myself and other Protestant victims. History, is he talking about the wars where government sent people out, like the Second World War, the First World War? Is he referring to the Somme? I see, you know, when the UVF was not like the UVF of the day, an organization of sectarian murders and drug dealers. You know what? History. You know, let him answer the question is, why is there a need for paramilitaries in the loyalist community? We're under no threat. You know, and it really gets me angry to think that the government and elected people at Stormont want to sit at a table with people who are destroying their own community. It's the way it is now. As long as the mafia that runs the Protestant areas don't go into nationalist areas and attack those people, right, everything's okay. It's in-house, so it's acceptable. And the same way is happening within the nationalist community with Republican organizations attacking their people. Mm. You know, it's time that the government and governments north and south and at Westminster took action against these people. We want to live in peace as one people, not controlled by a bunch of mafia thugs.